You've all heard about conspiracy theories, I'm sure. What do you think the most popular conspiracy theory is? In other words, the one which most people, most Americans, but also most people around the world believe in. I'll take some comments. 9/11, right? Somebody said that, 9/11? All right, and let me read to you a little bit about 9/11, which I pulled from Time magazine. It says, in May 2006, Zogby poll found that 42% of Americans believe that the government and the 9/11 Commission concealed or refused to investigate critical evidence that contradicts the official explanation of the September 11 attacks. And then all kinds of questions are being asked and all kinds of proposals are being made. Allegedly, this was an inside job, and either President Bush ordered it, or if he didn't order it, he knew about it. And they all knew that this was coming, and the FBI and the CIA, they all were involved in bringing about this catastrophe. And then, of course, they are talking about all kinds of ideas as to why that allegedly happened. What is another very popular conspiracy theory? What do you think?
Aliens.
Aliens. Okay, but that's a good one. I have that on a separate sheet of paper. It has to do with the UFOs, and it has to do, of course, with Roswell, a place at Area 51, which is about 150 miles away from Los Angeles, where allegedly aliens landed, and the U.S. government knows about it, and they keep it under lid. Another one?
Moon landing.
All right, moon landing. Let me go into that one. That's a very popular idea. It says it has been nearly, this is also from the Time magazine, it has been nearly four decades since Neil Armstrong took his giant leap for mankind. If that is, in other words, some say he never set foot on the planet. Doubters say the U.S. government, desperate to beat the Russians in the space race, faked the lunar landings with Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin acting out their mission on a secret film set located, depending on the theory, either high in the Hollywood Hills or deep within Area 51. With the photos and videos of the Apollo missions only available through NASA, there is no independent verification that the lunar landings were anything but a hoax. The smoking gun, a film of Aldrin planting a waving American flag on the moon, which critics say proves that it was not in space. The flag's movement, they say, clearly shows the presence of wind, which is impossible in a vacuum. NASA says Aldrin was twisting the flagpole to get the moon's soil, which caused the flag to move. And never mind that astronauts have brought back hundreds of independently verified moon rocks. As for Virgil Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Caffey, three astronauts who died in a fire while testing equipment for the first moon mission, they were executed by the U.S. government, which feared they were about to disclose the truth. Far-fetched as the hoax theory may seem, a 1999 Gallup poll showed that it's comparatively durable. 6% of Americans said they thought the lunar landings were false. 5% said they were undecided, so it's about 10%. The figure is a lot higher in Germany. In fact, the figure of Germans believing 9/11 was an inside job is, I believe, almost half. Almost half of the populations believe that. All right, what's another one? Any other ideas? The flat Earth concept. Well, of course, we just discussed it in one of our recent Q&As by Rob Harris, debunking that idea. That goes actually hand in hand with the concept. Not only is the Earth flat, but there was no space travel has ever happened. There's really no satellites over there in the Earth and in the atmosphere, nothing. All of that is a fake. Another one? The idea like everything is being run by secret societies like the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and other groups. So they are all running the government in secret, and the idea is like to take care of the world in such a way. Now this goes hand in hand with another very popular concept, which of course goes down to anti-Semitism. And that is, if you heard about it, the protocols of the elders of Zion. Now, this is the idea that the Jews are in charge of the world. They are trying secretly to take over the world. And so there is a document produced called the protocols of the elders of Zion. Now, it's an anti-Semitic fabricated text, according to Time magazine, purporting to describe a Jewish plan for global domination. The forgery was first published in Russia in 1903, translated into multiple languages, disseminated internationally in the early part of the 20th century. According to the claims made by some of its publishers, the protocols are the minutes of the late 19th century meeting where Jewish leaders discussed their goal to global Jewish economy by subverting the morals of Gentiles and by controlling the press and the world's economy. So it is kind of a forgery which was published in Russia in 1903 to begin with. But here's the interesting thing, how many people have believed in that and still do. Henry Ford printed 500,000 copies that were distributed throughout the U.S. in the 1920s. Adolf Hitler was a major proponent. It was studied as effectual in German classrooms after the Nazis came to power in 1933, despite having been exposed as fraudulent by the Times of London in 1921. It is still widely available today in numerous languages, in print and on the internet, and continues to be presented by some proponents as a genuine document. And guess who believes it to be true? Of course, the Iranian government. That shouldn't surprise anyone. All right, any other conspiracy theories you can think of? Which is?
Columbine.
Yeah, but what's the conspiracy on that one? Oh, that the government was in charge of Columbine. I hadn't even heard that one yet. Yeah, but I suppose that's one of those conspiracy theories too. I got a few more. Nobody else? The Holocaust, exactly. The Holocaust denial. Holocaust never took place, right? Iranians, again, on top of the list, denying the Holocaust. They have right now done are in the process of doing some kind of a debate, and they are inviting all these Holocaust deniers, trying to prove the Holocaust never took place. It was all an American invention. Some say it never took place at all. Others say, well, it did take place, but it was very, very small and minute. And the people who were actually seen on pictures when they were liberated by the Americans, oh, these were just people who had died of typhus, which was rampant in the camps. So the Holocaust denial is another one. Of course, goes hand in hand with the anti-Semitic concepts. But I have one more, maybe two more, which I like to bring out. One is a concept, and there are lots more of conspiracy theories, but one is a concept that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and that they brought forth children, and so those children then brought forth more children, and so then the descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene are still amongst us today. But here's one you might have heard some time back, was very popular, the black helicopter concept. Have you heard of the black helicopter concept? The idea like the CIA, the FBI, they have these black helicopters and they are spying on all kinds of people. Now, I bring this up because members in the Church of God are believing some of this stuff, what I've raised so far, and specifically the black helicopter. One person, I was still in the global Church of God at the time, she was absolutely convinced that she was being spied on by those black helicopters. In order to prove her point, she sent in photographs. And so the photographs were showing those black helicopters spying on her. Well, we opened the envelope, we looked at the photographs, there was absolutely nothing on it. There was nothing on it. So this lady, I don't know what she saw, I don't know what she thought the photographs showed, was, to put it mildly, quite confused. But we got to be very careful. And there are many more conspiracy theories which cannot be proven to be correct at all. Some, of course, have been proven of being totally incorrect. But we have to be careful in the church that we don't fall for conspiracies, for false rumors, that we accept those, that we spend all our waking hours on the internet to find out some more about some of these things, to prove, for instance, why 9/11 was an inside job, and spending hours upon hours and hours upon hours to come up with some kind of quote-unquote evidence to make the point, wasting our time. I'll talk about that in a moment. And we got to be extremely careful because some of these things are demonic. And we got to understand that. They are demonically inspired. I talked about demon influence last time, and I will most certainly speak about that some more because we see demonic influence and demonic possession more and more becoming rampant in this world. And we shouldn't be surprised about that because Satan knows that he has only a very short time left, and his wrath is very great, we read. In God's church, we are not supposed to take any political position. We are observing what is happening, but we are not going out there to vote for governmental ideas and governmental concepts and for those who want to become the president in the future. No, we have nothing to do with the Babylonian system of confusion. We are here to come out of this, come out of the Babylonian lies, of the political propaganda. Now, we are to watch. We are to watch world events in the light of biblical prophecy, and that's what we are doing every week when we send out our weekly updates. Now, also our weekly updates, when we have certain news articles which we publish, doesn't mean we agree with what the news articles are saying. It means that this is what's out there. This is what people come up with. This is how it fits in with the development of biblical prophecy. That's why we are publishing articles like that. It's not because we are taking any political position one way or the other. We are living under a different administration. Now, every government has a spokesman. Sometimes he's called the propaganda minister, depending on what country you're looking at. But somebody is there to speak on behalf of the president, of the chancellor, of the government. We also have somebody who speaks on behalf of the government we belong to. And that spokesman is none other than Jesus Christ. And we should listen to what he has to say about our government, about the administration we belong to. And the first thing he says is very clear. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23 and verse 1. Now remember now, if we are going to strongly support certain conspiracy theories, we had better be clear that what we are saying is true, that what we are saying can be proven. Because otherwise we are guilty of what is being stated here. Exodus 23 and verse 1. You shall not circulate a false report. If it turns out to be false, and we are the ones who have circulated it, we are in violation of God's commandments. Notice Numbers chapter 13. One of the classic examples of a group of people circulating a false report. Now that report had some basis. It wasn't all false what they said, but the whole intention and the whole concept was false, because it gave a completely wrong impression. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 32. This is about the spies who went into the promised land. And then they came back and they gave a report. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And so then they discouraged the people to go into the promised land. And none of them except for two were allowed to ever go into the promised land. Now we should know that God's servants can easily become the subject of false and bad reports. Easily. Notice Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, when we are victims in this process, we may not always look at this as ones who are being blessed for this. We might react in a very human way. But let's recall that if we are being reviled and spoken evil about because we believe in what Jesus Christ, our spokesman, tells us and do what he tells us, we should feel really happy about it. Because talking about the seal of God's approval, then it's on us very clearly and it's manifest. Paul was no exception, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse 8. He's describing, in this particular case, the role of a minister. And so he is confronted with reports about honor and dishonor by evil report and by good report. As deceivers, they have been maligned as being deceivers, but they are true. But they are being described as deceivers, and bad reports have been circulated about them. Let's go to the Old Testament, Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, and let's look at verse 10. Here, Amos was the target of an alleged conspiracy. He was charged of having started a conspiracy. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, "Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel, and the land isn't able to bear all his words." And others were accused of being enemies of the state. Jeremiah was accused of being a traitor. He was put to prison because he said God's words. John the Baptist was put to prison because he preached God's words. Should we think that God's true servants today would be in any different position? God is cautioning us not to naively and quickly believe in conspiracy theories. Isaiah chapter 8 gives us the following warning. Isaiah chapter 8, and let's notice verse 12. "Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy." Half of the Germans, one-third of the Americans, believe that 9/11 was a conspiracy. God says, do not say this only because the people say it. "Nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Verse 13, "The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow." Worship God in spirit and in truth, we heard earlier. "Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread." And as some translations have it, if you want to have a conspiracy with God, but not a conspiracy with those people who come up with all this kind of nonsense. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4. It says, "Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Verse 8. "Behold, you trust in lying words. that cannot profit. We are not supposed to trust in lying words. We are supposed to check out carefully whether what we hear is true. And if we don't know, we had better not pass it on. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And notice verse 2. Here's a description of the country of Israel, the state of Israel, but also the countries of the house of Israel today. It's a description of our Western society. Notice how God looks at it. It says there's no truth, verse 1, or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. No. I mean, you listen to the presidential debates of whatever party. And boy, are you being lied to. I mean, it is just incredible. And then you read articles and magazines and newspapers and you read stuff on the internet and the lie is followed by the lie. No truth. But swearing and lying, verse 2, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed after bloodshed. Therefore, verse 3, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now, in the ultimate sense, that's talking about the day of the Lord when God is pouring out his plagues over this earth, and as we can see from scriptures, all the fish in the oceans will die. And most of the animals, land animals, will die. But it already is a forerunner today when you see more and more animals are dying mysteriously. You don't know why that is. And here is a spiritual explanation for it. In Matthew 24 and verse 6, one of the signs, and you don't want to turn there necessarily, but one of the signs of Christ's return is that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Some of the wars are real, but some are not necessarily real, but you hear of these rumors of wars and the idea like there's going to be a war pretty soon. And so this is all part of the package. You can be expecting this, that it's going to happen. But notice also in Jeremiah chapter 51 what is said about modern Babylon. And of course we understand modern Babylon mainly talking about Europe today. But the system, of course, can be applied to just about every country, including the United States of America, including Great Britain and all the other English-speaking countries. And notice how this is being described. Jeremiah 51, and it start in verse 45. Of course, later on it's quoted in the book of Revelation. My people go out of the midst of her. Most certainly spiritually, have nothing to do with the system. Let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come 1 year, and after that in another year, a rumor will come and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. And then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyfully over Babylon, for the plunderers shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Not much space here for anti-Semitism. Verse 51. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces. For strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house, a reference to the third temple, which is still going to be built. And then strangers, Gentiles will come to take it over. Verse 30 or 52, therefore behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her lands the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were so fortified the heights of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord, and the sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice, though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered. And of course, this is a description of the final judgment against the Babylonian system and the modern city of Babylon, which can be found today in Rome. However, notice what we have just read. Rumor after rumor, which will have something to do with the way the people will look at things. They will believe it's a lie. Because many times rumors are invented and disseminated by demons. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And God allows it, as we will see, so that his purpose can be worked out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. This is at the time of Paul. And people were already saying at the time of Paul that the day of the Lord either had already arrived or was about to arrive. And Paul says, no, no, no. He says, don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit, by a demon, or by word, or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come, or is coming, or is at hand. See, that wasn't true at all at the time of Paul. But Paul makes it very clear, a spirit, a demon, would be involved circulating these kind of rumors. Sometimes we don't think along those lines, do we? Sometimes we speak of speculation, and I hear all kinds of speculation, and I read all kinds of speculation, even from people who should know better. Where does the speculation come from? Is it just coming out of the human mind, or is there more involved here? It's what we should think about. Because the Bible tells us that many, many will follow those demon-inspired rumors. Will believe them. Why? Because they do not really know God or don't want to know him. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, the Living Bible says, in the last times, some will depart from the faith. Now, this is talking about people in the church. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. We ought to be on the lookout. We got to be extremely cautious when new ideas are being brought out, that those are not ideas inspired by deceiving spirits, that the motivation is not speaking lies in hypocrisy. Let's go back to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, and notice verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. Notice this. Here we're talking about a spirit of harlotry. We're talking about demon-inspired concepts, which people, God says, my people have accepted. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. Still talking about God's people. Here in particular, he is singling out Ephraim. Verse 4. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. God allows that a spirit of harlotry is in their midst. And because of that, they don't direct their deeds toward repentance. You see, repentance isn't just saying, oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting that all the time. People write me memos, oh, I'm sorry. And don't change their ways. That's no good. No, it has to do with bringing forth repentance and, of course, bringing forth the works, the deeds worthy of repentance, as John the Baptist told the Pharisees. They don't want to change, these people. They are following a spirit of harlotry, a spirit of getting away from God. And so, as a consequence, they don't know God anymore. Maybe at one time they did. They don't know him anymore. Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. And let's notice verse 11. I really love that scripture. Love, quote unquote. First, let's read it here in the New King James. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the peddler of this people. Well, coming from Germany, I didn't quite know what peddler means, but the German translations have it much better, and so I looked at some other English ones. The NIV makes it nicely. It says, he would be just the prophet for this people. So, if somebody comes, he walks in a false spirit, he speaks lies, saying, oh, well, I'll prophesy to you, but, you know, you just live the way you want to. I mean, if you want to get drunk, if you want to become an alcoholic, that's fine. No problem with that. Don't have to change your ways whatsoever. That's the kind of prophet people like to hear, is what Micah is saying. The warning is for the church. Because here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul again warns the brethren in Corinth and charges them with some terrible things. But all these scriptures are written for our admonition today. So we don't make the same mistakes. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. In other words, the Jesus who actually came to do away with the law. We have, of course, a latest Q&A talking about one of the scriptures which is always being used to prove that Jesus came to do away with the law. And the scriptures in Romans 10:4 saying Christ is the end of the law. See, here you got it. He ended the law. That's not what the scripture says. There are more scriptures, or there are more Q&As coming which will address some more scriptures, the quote-unquote Christian world likes to use. Now, if you read some of these commentaries, I mean, you got to shake your head about the idiotic, absolutely idiotic argumentation. I mean, I was reading some of them, and I'm saying, these are supposed to be people who have studied. Now, they have studied theology. That didn't help much. But anyhow, they studied something, right? And then they come up with the most ridiculous, inconsistent nonsense. And you can only conclude, not only is it because they do not know God, that's clear. No, they were influenced by something, somebody, to come up with this kind of nonsense. But here, let's read it again. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received. So here we are talking about people in the church who had received God's Holy Spirit. And Paul says, and now a different spirit, a demonic spirit is offered to you. So this guy who comes to, which preaches, or who preaches that, and a different gospel, which you have not accepted, then what? He says, you may well put up with it. A weak translation. A better translation is, you accept it. Paul says to the Corinthians, you accept it. You who have received God's Holy Spirit now are accepting a wrong spirit in your life. And he's warning them. And our spokesman, Jesus Christ, is warning us today that we don't fall for that deception. Because you see, God allows it that false rumors are being circulated, are being believed in order to fulfill his purpose. But of course, God's people should recognize and realize and understand what those false rumors are. And of course, they should not believe those false rumors. They should not believe those lies. They should not believe this quote-unquote conspiracy theories, because why are they being circulated? Why? You have to ask yourself the question, why? What's the motive? Well, if it's anti-Semitism, if it's anti-government, if it's anti-Americanism, what is it? And should we in God's church believe this kind of stuff? Let's go back to the book of Judges, chapter 9. Judges, chapter 9. And let's look at verse 22. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will, an evil spirit, between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now, why did God allow this? Here's a demon. But God had a plan. Here's the plan. Here's his purpose. Verse 24. That the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be settled, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the man of Shechem, who aided him in the killing of his brothers. They all were guilty of murder. And God now used this evil spirit, allowed him to bring about this rumor and this hostility between them, so that they all could be punished. In 1 Kings, we find another example. 1 Kings 22, beginning at verse 19. But God's people, observing this, should have realized that this is of a demonic origin. They shouldn't have taken sides with either Abimelech or the men of Shechem. They were all guilty. You see. 1 Kings 22, beginning in verse 19. Then Micah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab? See, this evil, rotten king Ahab, one of the worst, if not the worst king in the Bible. Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramath Gilead? And so one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? And so he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you shall persuade him and also prevail, go out and do so. Now therefore, look, verse 23, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now this lying spirit could have been a demon who approached God when he was there with all his angels. It could have been an angel who at that moment decided to become a lying spirit, because it's interesting that some translations have it in verse 22, when God asks him, how do you want to do it? I will go out and become a lying spirit. So it's a possibility, but in any event, for the purpose of this sermon today, we are dealing with a situation where a lying spirit, who wants to go, God allows him to go, goes and influences all those prophets in Judah, in order to bring about the purpose of God, which was to see that Ahab would die. But again, God's people should have realized that these were lying words these prophets were saying. The only one who told the truth was Micah, and he was persecuted for that. 2 Kings 19. And verse 7, talking about rumors, talking about conspiracies. Here's another one. Surely, God says, I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. It's talking about the king of Assyria. So he will hear a rumor because a spirit is sent upon him, and that spirit tells him about a rumor. And so he goes back, and of course then he's going to die in this own land. Verse 9 in the same chapter. And the king heard, here comes a rumor, concerning Tirhayak, or whatever, Tirhakar, I guess, king of Ethiopia. Look, he has come out to make war with you. So it was a rumor. And so he sent again messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, and so on. And so then the story unfolds. So the point is, he is going back into his own land because he hears that rumor. And then he ultimately dies in his own land. And God brought it about. Isaiah chapter 19. Here's another interesting example. Isaiah 19, beginning in verse 12. It's talking about the fate of Egypt. Past and, I would say, future. Isaiah 19, verse 12. Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now. And let them know what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of its tribes. How did the deception unfold? Verse 14, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. And they have caused Egypt to err in all her work, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Neither will there be any work for Egypt, But it's a head or tail, palm, branch, or bulrush may do. The point is, nothing will work out for Egypt. And even prophecies tell us they will try all kinds of things, but they will lose. They will lose. God brings it about. He brings it about in this particular case by mingling an evil spirit, it says, amongst them who will deceive those who give counsel to Egypt so that they will fall because it is God's decree to punish them for their deeds. Now we know all 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but again let's look at this because here we're talking about a false prophet who is going to arise on the world scene, a religious individual working hand in hand with a military leader, a political leader in Europe, the beast. And many don't seem to know or understand, because they don't understand the Bible, that the beast is identical with the king of the north in Daniel. He's identical with the end-time king of Assyria, Assyria being mainly Germany. So it's very clear that the beast is going to be a leader in Germany. And so all those people who look at personalities in other European countries, whether it's France or Italy or whatever, are looking at the wrong direction. And of course, those who believe that the beast is coming out of the Middle East and is a proponent of Islam, they're looking at the terribly wrong direction. But there's another individual, the false prophet, a religious leader, and he will come. And he mainly will be the one who will bring forth miracles and signs and wonders. But they're all deceitful. And notice how he's going to come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one, because he also will preach that the law has been done away with. Jesus came to do away with the law. No longer the Sabbath, you keep Sunday instead. No longer the annual holy days, you keep Christmas or Easter instead. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. With all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception, or unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Why? Why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Oh yes, they might have received the truth, perhaps, theoretically, perhaps for many years were part of a church organization, Church of God organization, maybe for years kept the Sabbath, maybe for years kept the holy days, maybe for years abstained from keeping Christmas and Easter. And then the deception came. And then they began to keep Sunday. And then they began to give up the Sabbath or the holy days. And they began to keep Christmas or Easter. Because they never received the love for the truth. They had perhaps theoretical acceptance, but nothing shown in their life that they really loved what they did. And so here, they now are following unrighteous deception. They are those who are perishing. Because, it says, they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Notice verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they should all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He sends them strong delusion. Here this guy is coming up according to the working of Satan. They will be listening to wrong teachings of Satan and demons, strong delusions, but God allows it. It says here he sends them. In other words, he allows it. The demons want to do it, he allows it. Because these people have to become manifest. The hope is that some of them will repent in time before it's too late. But they have to develop the love for the truth. Not just accepting the truth, Many have accepted the truth over the years. Many are accepting the truth today. Kind of. Kind of. But then doing things which, for instance, when it comes to doing things on the Sabbath, which, you know, in former days you would never even have dreamed about doing that. And now it's like, and I'm talking about Church of God organizations. It's like, fine, can do it. We have to be very careful that when we are listening to speculations, when we are listening to conspiracy theories, when we are listening to teachings, we have to be careful whether these are from God. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, the Apostle John is saying, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every teaching. Don't believe every conspiracy theory, every rumor, every speculation, but test it. Test it in accordance with Scripture to see whether this can even be true or whether it's a teaching of demons. Because you see, if it's not the truth, then it's something else, obviously. If it's not inspired by God, then it's obviously inspired by something, someone else. John chapter 8 and verse 44 tells us, and again, a scripture you all know, Satan is a father of lies. In Revelation 12 and verse 9 we read that Satan has deceived the whole world. We were deceived. You were deceived. I was deceived before God called us into the truth. And as Mr. Armstrong has said so many times, if you are deceived, you don't know that you are deceived, otherwise you wouldn't be deceived. So people don't know. People don't know that they are deceived, but nevertheless they are. And God has called us out of this world, out of the world of conspiracy, of rumors, of speculation, of false ideas, of teachings. And so we have to test the spirits to see when we hear another idea, is this really something which comes from God, or is it something which comes from demons who love to tell you lies, and sometimes the lies look pretty good. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe them. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, and each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Putting away lying. As we heard in the sermonette, we are supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in truth if you believe the lie. It's incompatible. Now, we are supposed to speak truth to the neighbor. If we say something which we can't prove to be true, we shouldn't say it. See, it's our burden to make sure that what we say is true. It's not the burden of the neighbor to prove to us that what we are saying is false. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 21, that's actually the crux of the matter. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. I haven't written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. If we say something which isn't true, we are not speaking and acting for Christ, for God. Because no lie is of the truth. And so we are just not allowed to say something which is against the truth. James chapter 3. No matter what it is. James chapter 3, and notice verse 14. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, now maybe you don't have bitter envy in your hearts, but self-seeking, you want to be somebody. You have come up with a great idea right now. Well, you want to just pass it on because you want to look great. So if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's demonic. So, we are dealing here with demonic wisdom. Wisdom inspired by demons. And so we got to be careful that we do not fall for that. See, because we have received God's Holy Spirit. And how is God's Holy Spirit defined, amongst other things? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what kind of a spirit has he given us? He has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a mind believing in conspiracy theories, right? No, it's not what it says. He has given us a spirit of a sound mind. A balanced mind. We're not falling for this nonsense. We have a sound mind. We can discern between good and bad, between right and wrong, if we have God's Holy Spirit. We are able, as some of the German commentaries point out, to have a disciplined life with the right kind of priorities. Not wasting our time on this stuff, which is really of no consequence anyhow. Notice Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. The prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. See, we are supposed to have the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of God, who is a God of truth. We need to understand and acknowledge him and get to know him and get away from unbalanced, unsound concepts. Because here again, the warning, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I can guarantee you, if you don't do this, if you waste your time on the internet, many times it happens, and looking for all the most recent concepts as to why this particular conspiracy theory has to be correct, you will fall for this problem. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 3, and believe you me, I know what I'm speaking about. Because I've seen it happening. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Remember now, we have received a spirit of a sound mind. But the time will come they won't endure sound doctrine anymore. But according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears. Oh, did you hear this one? Oh, this is great. Let's do some research on that particular issue. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And boy, if you go on the internet, what many teachers do you find? There's all kinds of conspiracy and all kinds of speculation, and they teach you the greatest nonsense, and people follow that. They have a lot more followers than we do. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Hebrew mysticism. People believe in the book of Enoch, a demonic work. They believe in that. They believe in what's written there. And then they base their theology on this kind of stuff. Fables. Getting away from the truth, believing in fables. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 16. Let's start with verse 15 to get the context. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The RSV says, making the most of your time. Are we doing this? Again, a German commentary points out that on this perverted earth, we are supposed to make sure that we take every opportunity that we have to use our time in the way which God wants us to use it. It is important, they say, that we are realizing the shortness of our lives, because we won't live forever. And I notice this more and more now, and I think some of you might be noticing this more and more now. The time will come where we get older, looking back, asking ourselves, have we really redeemed our time always in the way we shouldn't? Of course, the answer is no, we didn't. Nobody has. But the admonition is, let's do it. Let's make a point to do it. Let's make every effort to do it, because he says the days are evil, and boy, are they evil. I'm telling you, 2016 will be a very evil year with all kinds of problems. 2017 will be even worse. Don't you believe one moment that no matter what is going to happen on the political scene, things will get better. They won't. They will not. We are far beyond this idea like, oh, everything is going to turn around and we, with our American spirit, we are going to make the best out of our country. It's too late. The days are evil. Redeem the time. Paul is saying, because not everybody is doing it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. See, they walk away, or they walk in a way which is disorderly. They walk in a disorderly manner. In other words, they are wasting their time. They're not using their time in the right way. They are doing things which are of no benefit. Like spending hours upon hours upon hours on the internet to find some aspects to a certain conspiracy theory they want to prove. Total waste of time. And that means we are supposed to stay away from the policies, the politics of this world. And not trying to take sides, thinking, oh, if only this person would be the next American president, then everything is going to get much better. So let's vote for this person. No, we're supposed to come out of the Babylon of confusion. This is not God's world. I mean, to me, that so many people in the Church of God have fallen for the demonic teaching that they should go out and vote in the next presidential election for the United States is beyond me. We have known the truth for years, but people turn away from the truth. They have itching ears. They believe the teachings of demons. And that is what we are seeing. That is what we saw in the worldwide days after Mr. Armstrong died. And when the big apostasy, the big apostasy occurred. Then, let's make no mistake, the Bible says it's going to happen again. And many will fall away. Let's make sure you are not part of it. Who is falling away? James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 17. The wisdom that is from above, we have just read about the demonic wisdom which comes from this earth. The wisdom which is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, or as the NIV says, submissive, listening to God's true servants, what they are telling you. Now, you need to know where God's true servants are these days, of course. It goes on to say, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. Another translation would be, without taking political sides, and without hypocrisy. That is God's wisdom. That is not the wisdom of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. Avoid foolish, ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. If you come into a confrontation with somebody and you realize here is foolish and ignorant dispute at play, get out of it. Get out of it. Don't try to throw your pearls before the swine. Doesn't help. It will only create strife. Because here, this is what we are supposed to be doing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, in order to have this bond of peace, you have to have God's Holy Spirit. And you have to endeavor the fact that you have to keep that unity of the Spirit. Now, if everybody has their own ideas because they are not listening to what God tells them because they have itching ears, they want to hear all kinds of other stuff coming from deceiving spirits, and of course you cannot uphold the unity of the peace. No way. No way. Then you just walk away. As Christ says, leave them alone. They are blind guides, and those blind people following the blind guides, and they all fall together in the ditch. That's what the Bible says. That's what your spokesman, or the administration you live under, is telling you. Ephesians 4 and verse 3, we just read that. Let's look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, and you won't believe that I'm going to say this now as the last scripture for the sermon today. Romans 14 and verse 17. The kingdom of God. Now, we all are going to be born-again members in the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns, if we don't fall away. But we are already members of the kingdom of God in embryo, if you please, if we have God's Holy Spirit. We are already begotten children of God, not born-again children yet. But we have to live under the conditions of the kingdom of God. Because what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a family of God, consisting at this point of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. But you are already a begotten child of the kingdom of God. And so what is the kingdom of God? What is God? What are you supposed to be? What am I supposed to be? The kingdom of God is not food and drink. That's not really important. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, again, priority is important. Redeeming the time is important. Looking for the possibility to make the best of your time is important. The kingdom of God isn't really food and drink or any physical stuff. But what is it? Righteousness. What is righteousness? All of God's commandments are righteousness. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, it's God's Spirit living in you, which gives you peace and which gives you joy and which enables you to keep the commandments. Like we said in our latest Q&A, it is a faith of Christ. It is a love of God in you, enabling you to keep the law. That is what the kingdom of God is. It is not going out there and finding the most recent development insofar as rumors are concerned, speculations are concerned, conspiracy theories are concerned. It's not for the purpose of arguing with others about this is right and this is wrong and you don't understand anything and I'm going to speak the truth and they don't know what they're talking about. No. It is talking about joy and peace and love in the Holy Spirit. We are part of the kingdom of God. We are not part of this world. The world and its politics and its ideas and its concepts is going to pass away. We have nothing supposed to be doing with it. We are supposed to come out of it. Be separate. Don't even touch what's evil. Don't even touch what's unclean. All of this stuff should have no place in the life of a true Christian.